The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
The Public Accounts Committee heard yesterday that over 100 electric buses worth tens of millions of euro have been left sitting idle due to a lack of charging infrastructure across the country. Some of them haven't been in use for nearly 900 days. Well, to share their thoughts on this, I'm joined by the Assistant General Secretary of the National Bus and Rail Union, Thomas O'Connor, and environmental scientist Tara Shine. Thomas, I'll start with you. You're welcome to the programme. Thanks.
Thank you, Claire.
For coming in. What do you think about these buses sitting there idle?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not the first time that we've had to comment on this. Look at the upshot of it is the buses that are out there in place of these new electric buses, the AX and EV type buses. I drove those over two decades ago. I mean, little did I think that I'd be standing at a bus stop today, putting my hand out and getting on those same buses. Like, for one, it's not good for the environment.
They're still in use. Those are still in use. Much older buses.
They were taken out of a field up in RD. Deep cleaned and put back into service. Like, they're not conducive to good public transport from a driver perspective. Like, and the maintenance regime at Dublin Bus is very good, highest of standards. But even though these buses have probably 1 million kilometres on the clock, no matter how well maintained they are, there's going to be metal fatigue, there's going to be rattles. Even though the seats were replaced, there's 1 million kilometres on them. There's a lot of miles. They're not comfortable. They're not the highest spec. And from a travelling public point of view, they're single door vehicles. You know, so we've gotten used to the double doors. We've gotten used to how quick it is to get on and off the buses. Single doors restrict that. Look, and the engines, the EV bus, I think it has a D7C engine. It's a 7.3 litre diesel engine. The AX bus has a D9B engine. It's a 9.3 litre. These are diesel engines. Mm-hmm. Like, we're in the middle of a climate emergency and we're trying to bring these buses in to reduce carbon emissions. And yet these diesel polluters are.
And these new buses, they're not in the depots, are they? I think some of them, the committee heard, some of them are with the manufacturer still, because you can't take delivery of them if you can't use them.
No, they're up in Ballymena, they're up in Wrightbus up in Ballymena.
In Antrim, sitting there waiting to come in. Are you aware of the problems with securing chargers? Like, what have you heard about when the fix is coming?
Well, the article this morning went some way. I believe there's a framework agreement for the procurement of contractors to install it. Right? One would have thought from a corporate governance point of view that when the NTA board decided to buy the 600 buses, they would have put a framework agreement back in then. The planning issue, like when they first went into Summerhill and Fisbert, there was delays. And there was delays from a planning perspective in Fisbert because of a stone wall and the sub station or the charging infrastructure didn't respect the heritage of a stone wall. That's ridiculous to me. Like, we're talking about public transport, we're talking about the common good. Mm-hmm. Right? If it comes down to offending a few people with hang-ups about historical matters or the common good, the eyes have it. The common good wins.
Well, look,
every time.
The people are entitled to object and protect infrastructure as well. But the NTA says, and Tara Shine, I'll bring you in at this point, the NTA says that this is a universal problem. It's happening all over the world. That, first of all, there are delays in getting these buses when you order them. So there's no point in putting the infrastructure in beforehand. It's very difficult to marry up the times. And also there are problems with the very infrastructure around the chargers, getting it, securing it and getting it installed. Do you accept those explanations?
So thanks, Claire. I did some checking with colleagues who are experts in sustainable public transport in other parts of the world. And certainly there are common challenges around grid capacity. As we modernise our grids and bring more renewable energy onto our grids, but also put a whole lot more demand on the grid from everything that we're electrifying. So that's a common challenge, but it's a challenge we've known about for many, many years, that we needed to modernise and upgrade our grid. So that we knew about. And then I think, you know, I do think there is here a need for better long-term planning and better joined-up thinking among the different arms of government to be able to preempt these things, to have the plans, but then to implement the plans and be ready. As far as I can tell from the article, there wasn't a delay in the delivery of the buses. It seems like Wrightbus and Ballymena did have the buses. They're ready. So it is about preempting what will be needed to use those buses, preempting it in good time, having the conversations with the grid providers, getting the planning permission in good time, sorting out the tendering issue. Those are all predictable, everyday kind of challenges in putting a good development in place. So yeah. I do think there's room for doing better.
Well, let's look at the report you're talking about is in the Irish Independent. It was at the Public Accounts Committee that all of this was heard yesterday, and the National Transport Authority saying that due to the length of time between ordering the buses and their delivery due to manufacturing schedules, it's virtually impossible to align the completion of charger installation. So it's impossible, they say, to align the two. You're saying with a bit of planning, you could do that.
I'm saying that there's a certain amount of this that comes down to planning. So I don't think I'd order a bus without an electric bus without having a very clear sense of what was needed to install the charging capacity. And if you looked at that, you would discover, obviously, that we have issues in Ireland around grid capacity. So then you would have had to go and talk to your colleagues who operate grid capacity to say, what else do we need to know about? What are the risks are there to our project? What risks are there to this investment? If there is going to be a delay to getting approval for this new charging infrastructure, how can we work together to make this happen? Because obviously it is in the public interest, both in terms of our health, from an air quality perspective, in terms of carbon emissions, and in terms of costs. So this is, I think this is one of the areas that our government really needs to get stronger on. It is the joined up thinking, bringing the different entities together to try and solve these common problems that we have. Mm-hmm.
Thomas, do the bus drivers care about this? Does it matter to them which buses they're driving?
They do. Like, I mean, from your own health, from like a driver's seat with a million kilometres on it, it's not going to be the same as a brand new bus. Like, when I went, when the inspector gave me a run aboard a bus in the morning, I always wanted the new bus, you know. It was just, you know, because...
Well, your day was going to be better, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. You know, it top spec, a new bus, rather than getting something that's been on the road for over two decades. Mm-hmm. You know, it does make a difference. And Tara's right. Like, when you're purchasing electric vehicles, the charging infrastructure is not superfluous. It's essential. Right? So one would have thought that, okay, we need to charge these buses. They're not running on diesel fuel. We haven't got a tank of diesel for them. We need electricity. And there are issues around the grid. I know Summer Hill, which has electric vehicles, they're on the same line as the Mater Hospital. And there's issues with getting the buses fully charged. And I think some nights they're on a trickle charge because they can't draw down the full amount of power. Mm-hmm. The solution to this, like the Planning and Development Act 2024, Section 4, especially 4.6, gives the Minister wide-ranging powers to introduce regulations. And a bus garage should be exempt from planning regulations. You should be able to just put in a substation and electrical infrastructure to charge these vehicles. Shouldn't have to go through the rigmaroles and red tape and bureaucracy.
Okay, well, there's an idea, Tara. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we have planning systems in place which allow people to express their reservations, constraints, concerns. That's important. But we're also starting to look at critical infrastructure now and ways of making sure that the long planning delays that we have been experiencing aren't holding them up. And so I do think it warrants thinking about when these are issues of national infrastructure, this is our ability to enable the public to travel on public transport, to get to where they need to go. It's critical to the way that the country can run that. Yeah, we need to be looking at things differently. And where we have these blockages, we have to get solutions minded and stop blaming each other, which is, again, something I read in that article, and actually come together and say, right, how are we going to solve it? It needs to be solved. Yeah, let's set a deadline and get these buses on the road.
Yeah, it does. I mean, this whole situation does sort of demonstrate how we are stuck. The ambition might be there to move on to cleaner transport. But if you can't get the grid infrastructure in the Phibsborough Dublin bus depot and the buses are sitting there waiting, or you can't find someone to fulfill the tender for the charges, you're just not going to get to the place where you need to be. And that delays everything, as we've seen.
Yeah, I think it's a big implementation problem that we have. We have the same problem with offshore wind. Like, this has the potential to be the greatest story. We have electric buses being manufactured on the island of Ireland, helping to decarbonize the island of Ireland, and we can't get it done. And that's just a crying shame. And I think, you know, we need to do better. We know our kids need to be able to travel on safe, affordable, clean public transport. Our bus drivers need to have that better experience that's been described. People walking in the street won't be breathing in the diesel fumes. Like, it's just such a winner-winner, no-brainer, that whatever it takes. I just think this is a great example of a micro of a relatively small, singular issue that if we can solve this, we learn from it, and then you apply that across the other even bigger kind of decarbonisation sustainability initiatives we're trying to roll out around the country.
The Minister for Transport, Dara O'Brien, says that his department has provided significant funding to progress the electrification of urban bus fleets. This isn't about the money, though, as we've seen from what's happening. This is about blockages, as you have mentioned, Tara, in the system.
Yeah. And so the system has to unblock itself. So the heads of all these departments and agencies need to get together and say that we have to find a way to get past this. I just think that that is within our capabilities to do it. I know that upgrading the grid is the challenge, but there is lots of experience in this country. There's heaps of experience amongst our European neighbours. And I am sure that in this case, where there's a will, there's a way.
Mm-hmm. The chairman of the Public Accounts Committee, Sinn Féin's John Brady, says that this is a shocking incompetence. Buses that cost around €500,000 each, when you think about it, parked up for months and years with no concrete timeline for when they will enter service. It's inexcusable, really, isn't it?
It is. And like the €500,000 per vehicle pales in comparison to the fines that Ireland would be hit with from the EU for missing its climate targets. Billions, tens of billions in fines. So, I mean, it behoves us all to get this infrastructure in place, remove the blockages, whether it be planning or engineering blockages. But the money is there, the buses are there. We just need some joined up thinking.
So 76 double-decker battery electric buses unused for 500 days, but 14 of those 76 have been parked for 860 days. They won't be new anymore by the time we get them on the road. This is the problem.
Yeah, and look, I mean, we live in a tech age. We've all got battery gadgets. One wonders if a bus is sitting there and it's not being charged and not being used, is there a drain on the battery? Will they be damaged?
Well, you're not supposed to let them go completely flat. No. Thank you so much to Thomas O'Connor, Assistant General Secretary of the National Bus and Rail Union, and Tara Shine, who joined us on the line, environmental scientist. We're coming up to the news. Don't forget, though, in the next hour, I'll be joined here in the studio by singer-songwriter Gavin James.